offensive content.
You're the worst.
Saw that coming.
Yes, I did. I did. I also thought maybe you were going to see it again, and I was going to try to beat you to it. Anywho, we're going to have spoilers and offensive content. Dave! Week 2.
Week 2 is done.
Yes, can we go home now?
No.
We have been in this fortified secret location on the eastern seaboard for a long time now, with nothing but anime.
That's why it's taken so long to get week 2 done.
And I gotta tell you, everything is looking like moe now. Everything looks like moe now. I'm seeing nipples everywhere.
Sure. Anyway, so week 2 being over, I'd say from the 20 that we picked being mostly green, and a few yellows being slotted in there.
And one red.
No, as in...
From week 1. Yes.
We didn't do too bad. I mean, based on the premise of the first episode, we had a couple that we were worried about that fit in certain places due to the rating we gave week 1.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the one that we thought could hit red did hit red. It cratered.
Yes, it cratered.
But let's start off at number 1 and go from there.
Do you want to start at number 1 or at number 30?
20,
whatever. Yeah, let's start at number 1.
Let's go with 20 then. Let's ramp it up.
We're going to do this a little differently this time. Our number 20 seed was, Jesus Christ, these Japanese titles. Ushina Wareta Mirai no Motomete. Wo Motomete. I don't know what the difference between wo and mo is in Japanese, and I don't care. We averaged out a 3.5 for this one. They've given it a 4. We just need to do our average. 3.5. You wanted to see this more than me.
I wanted this one over the samurai garbage.
Samurais aren't garbage. Don't you know that katanas are super, super sharp and can cut anything alive?
Shove it.
Yeah, I know. Katanas are actually shitty, chip-prone pieces of shit. Partly because the materials Japan had access to were pretty shitty. Modern katanas aren't quite so shitty.
Anyway, much like Japanese katanas of the past, this one rusted, chipped, and broke.
There's good ideas in it.
There is.
And I don't care. And I was also bored. And the plentiful nice tits were not enough.
I'm probably going to watch an episode 3 of this one on my own. But looking at the premise and where they're going with it, something tells me episode 3 will be my last. However, this one definitely does not make the cut.
By all means, tell me if there's a Yuki Yuna-style twist in episode 3.
You wouldn't believe me.
I'd believe you, but I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we can double-team this list. You're up.
Grisai no Kejitsu. The fuck was this one?
I want to know what the fuck is up with the seed number and where it is.
Oh, seed number 19.
I gave you the benefit of the doubt. I didn't say anything.
Nice. And this one rated a 3.5 as well.
Yes. This is the one that could turn into Steins Gate at any moment.
All right.
But maybe it won't be. And you're going to have to tell me about that, too, because I don't care to watch another episode of this.
Yeah, that's another one that I will watch one more episode, but just like our 20th seed, this one... These ones matched where we put them in the 20. It's gone.
Number 18, our 18th seed for week 2, was World Trigger.
Or what shall forever now be known as Octopus Face.
Fish Face. Octopus. Fish. Some kind of sea life face. This one got a straight 5 from us. And a lot of the promise of the initial trailer and the concept, I'm just curious how this show made metallic Cthulhu steel Jesus looking aliens from another dimension invading our own with lightsabers and transformations to fight them seem boring.
It's too dialogue heavy. I mean, I do get the fact that they're trying to bring this obviously sheltered alien into modern society and how he doesn't really fit in.
What's his name, Dave?
Couldn't tell you.
Me neither. I don't remember it.
But here's the thing. You can't, they could have done that and done almost screenshot level growth going on without boring us to fucking death and then redoing the same lesson of him learning over and over again, him beating up the guys.
I don't know what screenshot level growth is, but I'm going to assume it's better than what the show gave us.
Basically a montage.
Gotcha, gotcha. Look, there could be cool things about the show. There are cool things about
there are.
It.
Yeah.
I like how Osamu is hiding the fact that he probably doesn't work for that organization. Let's face it, he hasn't interacted with them at all. He is not one of their agents. He just has one of their weapons for some reason. That and that alone is the only thing that builds any kind of intrigue with me.
And I think you're reading too much into it. I think he actually is part of the organization. I just think he tries to stay out of people's way.
Maybe. It could be
he
true.
He comes across as a very chicken shit sort of character. And so, I think he's just an agent who stays out of the way.
It could be, it could be. It seemed weird that he had no interaction. He seems to always want to not be near the agents, so. But, I don't care because I'm not seeking out a third episode. Unless,
neither am I.
Unless you come and tell me, oh man, I saw World Trigger. Shit went down. The guy from Nightwalker was there. Fucking Hulk Hogan fights a Gundam.
Look. Except for 1920 with me wanting to watch another episode, I don't in this. The fish face was pissing me off.
Yeah, that animation style where the white-haired kid, whose name I keep forgetting, just keeps doing the fish face thing to show you that he's either innocent or has no real taboo about his actions is irritating. Yeah. I hate it. You know what? I don't hate what you're about to mention.
Number 17, Terra for Mars, which we rated an 8.14.
Yes, the violence.
Now,
this is the uncensored version.
We originally watched episode 1 and episode 2 uncensored, which episode 1 didn't have too much censored, but what it did have censored, holy shit, it was censored.
Yeah, and we didn't see the uncensored episode 2. We moved right over to the good stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. We just didn't bother with the uncensored shit. So, Terraformers, actually, we had a 17th slot because episode 1, being uncensored would not have saved it from our original reactions.
No, it was kind of a weak opening. Kind of a weak opening, even uncensored.
Weak opening.
It was originally our number 1 seed.
Yeah.
And then it was our number 17 for week 2. That is no doubt going to change, though.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Terraformers definitely made a comeback. And the violence and the way they ended that last few minutes of the episode was just glorious.
I know you didn't agree with this, but I thought it was almost tongue-in-cheek how almost boring the episode was on purpose, so that when the cockroach man could come onto the ship and just start ripping people to shreds, I could get the weirdest boner watching it. Dude, holy fuck, it's so violent.
Here's the thing.
I love it.
I think you see a little bit too much of tongue-in-cheek, blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. It was just, it was a boring first part, kind of. Showing off the life and everything else, and then they hit us with the good shit.
It was just so funny, though. Like they're talking about crushes and the philosophical bullshit that sometimes anime meanders to, and then their entire worldview is a severed head followed by shit. The ship has been infiltrated by the giant cockroach men.
Don't forget the spine sword.
Jesus Christ! He tore that guy's head off! Did something to the head, and then the spine straightened and hardened, and he started cutting people up with it, like a sword! The hilt was the guy's head!
Yep. On to the next one!
Kaito Joker is our number 16 seed, and there was far less violence in it. there was also far less anything. I dig 80s and 90s retro style anything. Whether it is American animation, European animation, Japanese animation, live action, even music, anything 80s. And since I grew up in the 80s, and so did you, you and I both have a soft spot for the 80s and some of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is so 80s anime that it hurts. And it's so predictable and rote that it hurts.
And that's the problem, is it does... If just the animation style was retro and the storyline was modern, I think it would have gotten a lot more play with both of us, because it is very 80s in its storyline, and I don't think it's ever going to change from that, which is...
No, I really don't. We gave it a 5. I will say this, I don't actively want to see the third episode, but if I was channel surfing and for some reason on ABC Primetime, Kaito Joker was playing, I'd probably sit back and be like, yeah, I can dig this.
Sure.
Speaking of Kaito...
Our number 15 seed is Magic Kaito 1412, which we rated at 7.54.
Apparently this is in the same universe as Detective Conan 2.
Is it?
I heard this. I verify and confirm nothing.
I don't think so. It's much like a lot of shows where it has the same art style. I don't think it actually fits in to the Detective Conan universe. I followed that for a while. Doesn't really fit. Anyway, I like our characters that we've got going on in that show. It might just make the cut. We'll see in a little bit, but that's a show that if it does get cut, I will be watching another episode because it got me intrigued, and I was one of the ones who was worried about the show.
I liked the second episode more than I liked the first episode, but I am, you're probably sick of hearing
your
this.
Your relationship, blah, 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 blah.
I hate how they do this carrot on a stick thing where the characters are so obviously into each other and they fucking never, ever say or do anything to confirm it until the last episode.
You don't like the fact there's no payoff.
There's no payoff to it. Not every show needs this. I mean, Ryuko and Mako didn't end up in a relationship in the end of Kill la Kill, and I loved the whole show regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But this show really is, like, begging for it, and instead, it's going to do what every other show like it is going to do. And I would prefer to have seen something like Spider-Man or Superman, where the dual identity and the girl factor very much into our hero's development. And they kind of will, but at the same time, they're just going to keep dangling that payoff in front of me.
I do believe you have to kind of get off that pedestal.
Let me promise you that it's not going to happen, because this shit is so rote. It's rote in a lot of fiction, a lot of television, period. But in anime, it is pretty much just, it's like, okay, we need our cookie cutter protagonists, second kind of interest, childhood friend, and carrot. Everybody got the carrot? Okay, pay off in the last episode. Go.
Okay, I get that, but there, for all the anime we're going to watch, if you're going to be worried about that already at episode 2, that's something not to hold against the show when we're only at episode 2.
The jackass way for me to answer that is to say, well, since it's my call what I rate it, I am going to keep it as a... I am going to hold it as a requirement that it's got to do that to gain a certain amount of pull with me. Will I completely, like, dismiss the show if it doesn't have it? Depends on the show. Magic Kaito is one that I would. Because that kind of shit where I think it would just enhance so much of it, never being done, is just enough to make me go, I'm just going to stop watching and read spoilers. Not yet, but we'll see if it gets through to a third episode. Number 14, Nanatsu no Taizai, or Seven Deadly Sins, we gave an 8.01. After a kind of shaky first episode, we get a rock-solid second episode where I'm the worst feminist. I'm the worst feminist, I'm going to say this.
We gotta stop that, too.
Look, it's not happening. I'm just being quite honest with you. Our main character's fucking lecherous ways are becoming a little endearing. and also, we're getting more of the plot and more of the cool moments, like fucking, some guy who thinks he's Odin throws a fucking lightning spear 7-point-something miles at a town to obliterate it. And, our cute little protagonist, fucking Meliodas, grabs it barehanded, hucks it back, and it just barely misses the guy's face. This is, like, look, sometimes in, like, a Street Fighter tournament, I like to play Guile, and sometimes I'll play Ryu, and we're doing a long-distance fight or something. We're not 7-point-something miles away from each other, though. That is quite the long-distance game that is being played. It's got moments, and I kind of want to see more moments, and Elizabeth is hot as sin, and it's so wrong for me to go, man, I kind of want to see under that dress as much as possible. What did you think of it?
I think you filled in the details pretty well. It's an enjoyable little romp. His perviness is almost done in an offhand way, so it's not quite as bad as somebody being...
What makes it funny is that he kind of does it unapologetically. And Elizabeth is either naive or just has no taboo for it.
Yeah.
So, like, she wakes up, he's totally just copping a feel. She kind of looks at him, and he just kind of looks at her right in the face and just keeps going.
Yeah.
And she's like, huh, oh, this is happening, eh? And that is so wrong to hold up on a pedestal, but I'm going to because I find it funny. I'm sorry. I apologize, ladies. I'm the worst.
Next is number 13. Garo.
Garo the Animation.
We gave this a 7.75. And, yeah, I didn't know if this one was going to be able to hold up come the second episode, but our main character, Leon's father, is just...
German, or Germain, or Hermann, Germain, however the hell you pronounce his fucking name.
Is just so awesome in his pervertedness.
I almost wish he was the protagonist. Like, I kind of want it to be fucking Zorro, the Animation. Like, we also met cool new characters, and we saw further machinations of Mendoza! Seriously, this show's antagonist is Mendoza. How can you not be into that?
This episode was very much a fill in some of the further story, cause more damage to the royal household by arresting the queen, and also trying to go after the son.
Yeah, I also like that Alfonso, the son, has a cool little side story. He could develop into a Zuko-like character. Or an ally.
I'm thinking Black Ranger.
Whatever happens, Green Ranger. Whatever happens, it's cool that he is presenting an intriguing fork that we're not sure of yet.
Yeah, but I also like how they gave us that little touch into his honesty and how he treats people by saving the one guy from being whipped.
Yeah, I like that.
That was an awesome bit of character building.
It shows that he's genuinely a good prince.
Yeah.
Like, he's not rich, naivete. He generally believes in looking out for the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of naive.
Oh, fuck.
Number 12 seed for week 2, Cross Angie, Tenche no Turion. I don't.
No Rondo.
Cross Angie is fine.
Yeah.
We gave this a 2. The 2 points were generally for the tiny amount of still present good ideas and Angie, who is a way better character than the rest of the show. And the docking of the remainder of the fucking up to 9, whatever 3π-2 points is, was because of the glorification of sexual assault and rapiness and somehow making lesbians, something that practically wins any show over for me, creepy and gross and violent and just kind of eh. The show, despite being all women, is like so misogynistic.
Yeah, it's not good. And at least if one of the characters was speaking up and trying to stop something, it might have gone another point from me, but it was just whole final rape scene, or attempted rape at that point. I mean, it was authorized by the head commander. It's like, the captain's like, I'm gonna use the room. Okay, approved. It's like, fuck?
Okay, there's an argument to make that this kind of shit can happen in real life, and does. Probably more often than anybody's comfortable admitting. But this show is trying to present this as some kind of official government-sanctioned organization, and they're basically treating these people like the worst of the worst and expecting them to fight. There's material there for a clever allegory to how poor people in Realityville tend to be the people sent off to war by rich, greedy politicians and assholes like us who don't want to have anything to do with it because we're terrible. But the problem is that it is all out-prioritized by fan service, which I'm usually okay with, but not when it's just so gross, and wish fulfillment, but the creepy, pervy kind.
Yeah, no, bottom line is this one was the one that we thought could go red, and it did, and it's definitely out of here.
Yeah, it's gone. Sorry, Angelise, you're a way better character. This show does not deserve you. You should move over to a show like our number 11 seed.
Kisuju, or Parasite.
I like this more than you.
We end up giving this a 7.5 average. I am not at all into this show, really. It's just, I'm just very meh on this one. To borrow your becoming famous line, I just don't care.
And that is totally fine, because there's another show we're going to talk about here coming up next about I just don't care about. But Kiseiju, all my kind of check marks are kind of met by it. It's protagonist leading a double life, legitimately about to be in a relationship that's going to affect that double life. Intrigue from both a science fiction and kind of human morality and social structure standpoint. I really like everything about it. I don't like it so much that I wanted to give it a perfect rating or anything. I know we're not mentioning our individual ratings, but here it kind of matters, because you give it a 6.5, I gave it an 8.5. And this is probably going to be the only show on the list that I seek out more episodes of and you don't. So, yeah. Unless it somehow makes the cut, then it probably won't. It got a yellow from us, despite other 7.5s getting a green, but that's for different reasons we'll get to in a moment. Our number 10 seed was Shirobako. What did we give this again? I can't quite see that.
6.
We gave it a 6. This 6 is not at all meant to be venomous, or kind of like, it's not at all meant to be harsh. It's meant to be a reflection of how much we care about the source material. This is the kind of show I want to succeed, I just don't want to watch it.
This episode kind of, while I appreciate the depth of the knowledge they're trying to give us and the obvious passing on of experience within the anime industry, ultimately I'm able to sympathize a little bit too much with our main character. In the way that she's got a million and one jobs and is having to take all this on and just having to work through everything, it just hits a little bit too close to home in real life. So, again, like Carl said, I want this to succeed. I wish it the best, but I just can't watch any more of it.
Well said.
What I do want to watch more of, though, is our 9th seed, Tribe Cool Crew, which we gave an 8.32.
I said in the first episode exactly what I said about Shirobako. I hope it succeeds, but I don't know how much I care. No, I care, man! I want... everything about this episode won me over. Now I care, and I want it to succeed. And they ended off on the perfect cliffhanger that made me punch so many walls because I wanted to see what happened next.
It was like, wait, you're ending there? You fuckers! We can't watch the next episode yet!
I think, again, this is one of those that I'm not going to give a perfect rating to, but I can't really think of too much about it I dislike. I like the characters. I like the interactions between the characters. I like the dancing. I like the music. I like just about everything about it. And so far, the future looks bright for it, despite any pitfalls that may come.
Yeah, it is weird, because, I mean, the only thing it's missing is the all-out wow factor of some of our top shows. I mean, we were really enthused, and we were into it. But it didn't have the quite wow factor of our tops.
That is a good observation. I agree, and that is quite astute, and glad you said it, because I wouldn't have thought of it. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of missing the sudden twist or the high concept, even though in a way it is kind of high concept and wow factor-ish itself in its own way. That was kind of brought to us by the first episode. Now we're taking this concept and running with it. I'm not sure. It's still really good. And you're right. It's kind of like what happened to Yona in the first week, in that it was really good, but it got beat out by lower-ranked standouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, though, very much looking forward to episode 3 of that. Our number 8 seed was Ino Battle.
Ino Battle wa Nichijo Kai no Nakade, which translates roughly to Ino Battle within everyday life.
Yep.
Second episode was a bit more serious than the first. The comedy was still there, but there was also a rather kind of a smartly played moment of real life and a moment of realization, and all against the backdrop of these characters are pretty much gods and they're still doing the normal school life thing. Will there ever be an evil organization? I don't know, but they better have something come up soon, because I'm going to get bored if they don't.
What did we give it as a rating, Carlos?
7.5.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's smart writing, but I'm kind of wonder where my trigger writers have gone. I mean, we have Gurren Lagann, we have Kill la Kill, and then we have
Ino Battle,
and while episode 1 had the wow factor of, hey, cool, look at these battles, episode 2 just didn't really have the same grab. I mean, you made the comment of, did we really need to see that the girls were jealous that he could be in a relationship? I think it needed it, but did it need to be so long of a scene? No, it's just, really, that needed to be the first half of the episode, and then we needed to have more story progressing content.
Sure,
so
sure.
I'm just hoping that Trigger wasn't a two-hit wonder of 3.
You know what? In all honesty, maybe they made 2 action-packed shows, and they're like, we want to take a break with this one, which is fine, man. That happens sometimes.
It is, but Yeah. When I saw Trigger, I was just, I kind of had expectation episode 1 was starting to meet that, and 2 just kind of, that's why we gave it a 7.5. It just didn't really continue the flow.
You know what I like flowing? Creamy legs and then a freaking super sculpted figure.
You're going to have me starting to call you a bad feminist.
I was leading into our next show. That it's your turn to mention.
Madan no O Tuvenidis. We gave this one a 8.64 because...
What's the state, Dave?
Being in our 7th place, this show...
I hurt my hand.
Good. Tell you what, face table now.
Are you coming on to me? I'm not hearing a no.
This one just continued the awesomeness of the first episode. We do have some fan servicey things, but it's not done as fan service is normally done. It's not in the tasteless otaku pandering. It's just part of this girl's personality.
I disagree. I think some of the fan service in the show is kind of tasteless and very kind of like a sledgehammer. However, the rest of the show is good enough that I can forgive some naughty bits and that it can just appeal to my pervy side.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm being serious.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah. I really like it. I like the characters. I like Tigray. I like Ellen. I like...
Don't you mean Hawkeye?
Yeah. Fucking Hawkeye, man! This guy!
Pulls that arrow right out of the air, shoots it right back in the same second, and does an eye shot.
Grab that arrow, one inch from poor little Tita's face. And he was using a normal bow that he was so badass at, he damaged it. And there's no blacksmith nearby, so he can pay gold to repairs. So he apparently got the fucking super bow from Slayers that he's about to show off. Hopefully it fires as many lasers as that bow.
That would be sweet.
Our number six seed was Guguri Kokuri-san. We gave it a 9, is that right?
Yep.
A 9. Our most improved from week 1, based off the seeding, we gave it a 27. And where it ended up as one of our highest rated shows, continues to be charming and funny and charming and cute and funny and charming and cute and cute. A new character is introduced, a pervy lecher who can change gender and is after our cute little doll girl. That's a new wrinkle. I from the intro and the ending, it looks like they're going to have many more new characters and wrinkles.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to more for this one.
Yeah, we gave it a 9 for a reason. It's just good-hearted fun.
Yeah.
Something that's not as good-hearted fun, Trinity 7. This is our 5th seed, and we gave it a 4.07.
Pluses include hot girls trembling because they have to pee. Minuses include...
everything else.
What the hell happened to the first episode?
Yeah.
First episode was so good. Ish.
Yeah.
Second episode was so boring.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is a show I will watch the third episode on.
Yeah, I will also see that third episode.
I'm just not expecting anything to come from it.
Well, I might come.
Oh, God.
From it. Maybe I'm part of the show. What did you think I meant? Did you think I meant
semen? Move on.
Number 4, Akatsuki no Yona. One of our standout shows from the first week, our number 4th seed that we ranked for week 2. Pardon me. We ranked an 8.49. Cute little Yona was one of our better shows of the first week, then it got blindsided by stuff we mistakenly ranked lower than it.
yep.
Yona, this was more part 2 of the pilot than any kind of independent episode, but we still see Yona's progression, and then we got a peek of the future, and I would be totally fine if this was like a Godfather 2, where the show goes back and forth between circumstances that led to Yona becoming who she is, and her adventures in the present.
Here's a funny thing, that you say in that episode we saw a look forward. That is the exact same scene we got at the beginning of episode 1, but with an extra, like, 20 seconds added onto the scene.
Yes, indeed. This show looks good, but depending on how it plays its cards, I'm looking at it and I'm like, is there enough material here for even 10 more episodes?
There is, and... okay, here's the thing. I had this... not so much spoiled, but somebody who, I talked to online made the comparison in this show because they've gone further.
Go ahead, lay it on me.
Well,
we put the spoiler warning up, and I'm going to watch the third episode anyway. This is going to make the cut.
It's very much like another older anime that I saw years back.
Called?
What was Crap. It?
Okay, it's okay. We'll talk about it after.
It's one of the Four Kingdoms sort of stories.
And now you're no longer my friend.
What?
Get out of your house.
Don't make me call the Burt's Bees guys in here to molest you.
Oh, God, he molests so many people. Did you mean the Three Kingdoms? Like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms stuff?
No.
Or did you mean the Four Kingdoms of...
there's an actual...
The Avatar world?
No, there's an actual anime called The Four Kingdoms.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is a take on the Three Kingdoms idea with a fourth romance.
Sure. It's not like Yona is innovative or anything.
Yeah, no.
It's just solid.
Um, next, which has been really solid, is our third seed, Amagi Brilliant Park.
I like this show. It's like Futurama.
We gave it a 9, and it is solid.
I compare it to Futurama for a reason. It builds up with comedy and then piles on the feels. It also has similar plot points. Seemingly hapless main character with a secret talent for stuff. Although definitely Kanye is a lot more talented than Fry at the beginning. A Leela-like love interest, almost. Yeah. I'm a little wary that they're going to do the carrot dangling thing with her, with Kanye and Isuzu, but this show isn't about that, at least not yet. If future episodes put that in the forefront and they keep dangling, I'm gonna be a little upset, but the show's too solid for that to take anything seriously away from it. This is another standout where we didn't take this seriously at all, and we were wrong. It's a good show.
It is.
Number 2, our second seed is Yuki Yuna no Yusha de Aru. The English title is apparent for this one is apparently Yuna Yuki, other way around, is a hero, because Japan and names.
Yeah.
This is the show where the first episode just had the mother of all plot twists at the fucking halfway point, although I talked to some people about it, and they're like, no, I kind of saw it coming, and I'm like, fuck. I haven't watched enough anime in my life, and then I immediately stab myself for having that thought.
I'm calling them out on that, because I don't see how. I've gone back and watched episode 1, looking for any sort of idea of what could be coming, and unless you had read some sort of different synopsis that basically led you to that, I question how they saw it coming.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, looking back, the first half of the first episode did have a few hints that things weren't as they seemed. They were just very subtle, because they can't just have none, or the show, or the plot twist becomes stupid. This episode had something of a similar twist in that the character that we thought was not going to turn into a hero did, and she was awesome! So far, I am still totally behind this show. I am so rooting for these girls. And going back to what I just said earlier about little hints of the direness to come, bad things are going to happen to those cute girls, man.
Probably.
You just know it. And I need to see what they are. What do we give this one again?
That was an 8.85.
Yes, it was. And then finally,
Ore Twin Tails no Narimasu, which we rated at 9.36. It is our number 1.
And it stays there, I think, because it is just delightful. It is such a parody of so many things, played totally straight, and the characters are so funny and cool, and the villains are so absurd. This whole show is absurd, but in a good way. It reminds me of the good Family Guy episodes, all 2 of them, except constantly.
So that's how things ended up. Now, where do they end up in the end?
Well, here's the thing. How many greens do we have here?
Let me count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have 12 greens.
So, safe to say, all the greens are going to make it except for 2.
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
Oh, man. What to cut? What are our 2 lowest rated greens? They appear to be, from what I can see, Ino Battle and
Garo Magic Kaito.
Yeah, our lowest rated green is Ino Battle at 7.5.
Yes.
Our second lowest is Magic Kaito at 7.54. Our third lowest is Garo at 7.75. You and I both want to see Garo, so I say we don't even, but that means both Magic Kaito and Ino Battle are cut?
That's hard, isn't it?
What's the next one above Garo? All of them are above 8, aren't they?
7 Deadly Sins at 8.01, or Terraformers at 8.14.
Yeah, they're not getting cut, so I don't know. Well, fuck.
Oh. That hurts.
Well, ultimately, if we really want to see more of these, we will, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's, we said that we were going to be cutting things by half every week until we hit five or so, and the unfortunate thing here is we, as much as we, they are green, they gotta go.
Yeah, so, listen, Garo is not gonna go, right? Do you really, really see yourself ranking either Magic Kaito or Ino Battle above Garo? Really? Because I don't.
Here's the thing. Week three of any one of those three could blow the others away.
Hey, man, it's not a fair world.
No.
One of these shows survives, okay? So let's make the case for each one individually. Ino Battle looks like it's going to be School Life with a twist.
Yeah.
Magic Kaito looks like it's going to be a protagonist with a dual identity, and managing that dual identity with his life and his romantic love interest and her dad, her J. Jonah Jameson style dad.
Yeah.
And then the Garo appears to be about Western fantasy, and you know what? I'm going to settle this argument right here. Mendoza!
Ding, ding, ding! It wins! Enemy, awesome enemy name for the win.
Yep. In all seriousness, Garo deserves this the most, I think.
Yeah, because, like, we gave... Ooh! Yeah, Kisuji was rated at 7.5, but yeah. it's yellow, so it's gone.
It's yellow. It should be on this list for contention, but I wasn't going to fight you for a green on it, because you didn't fight me for your Mirai, so, I mean, returning the favor.
Yeah, Mirai was bad, but it didn't deserve a red.
I didn't think Kisuji deserved a yellow myself, but we have to go by our consensus. This is consensus, right?
So Magic Kaito and Inu Battle are cut.
Okay. In addition to those two, we are cutting our yellows and our one red.
Okay.
Our...
Hang on. Let me start here.
So while Dave's doing this, I'm going to serenade all of you with a song.
No, you're not.
All right. And I
will fucking
will always love you.
Sorry, everybody. Carlos committed suicide. I'm afraid he's not going to be around for any more of the Dave Anime Rave show.
That's where I come in, right?
And the Burt's Bees guy has been removed from life.
All right, so which one of these shows has the most tits? I like those tits so bad. I'm going to just suck them with my Burt's Bees lip balm. Wait, that didn't sound right.
Okay,
here are the shows that are cut. Magic Kaito 1412, Ino Battle, there's no particular order, Ino Battle, Kiseiju, Trinity 7, Shirobako, Cross Angie, Kaito Joker, World Trigger, Gersaya no Kaijutsu, and Ushinoma Rate Mirai something or other. Here are the shows that made it in no particular order.
Why don't I just put it into the right order?
Hang on. Terraformars, Nanatsu no Taizai, Garo, Tribe Cool Crew, Madame no Oto, Vanadis, Guru Kokuri, Santa Katsuki no Yona, Magi Brilliant Park, Yuki Yuna, and Ore Twin Tails. It is now time to seed week. Three. So, can you take the numbered bullets off the stuff you cut?
Why?
Because this is week three now. Just keep them under. Just take them out. It's going to be confusing. We only need 10. Dave, why are you doing it manually? Just highlight them all and take off the bullet with the button. You are the worst word processor. The worst. All right. So, what did we rank the highest? Twin Tails, right?
Twin Tails stays at number one.
Are we going to argue that Twin Tails is their number one seed for week three? We're not. Now, what ranked second highest? It seems to be a tie between Amagi Brilliant Park and Gaguri no Kokuri-san. And I still kind of want to put Yuki Yuna at number two, I tell you what. But I will hear our, like,
First of all, like last time, if we have a disagreement, the higher score will decide. But I kind of still want Yuki Yuna to be C2. But if you were to say Amagi Brilliant Park should take that spot, I would not argue with you. In fact, let's do that. Amagi Brilliant Park is really our second seed. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Really, Yuki Yuna really should be around 4.
Okay, then let's do that. Let's put a...
Because really, we gave it just a little bit less for a reason.
But we did. You're right. You're right. It was for a reason. Now, which one should be number 2? Amagi Brilliant Park or Amagi. Koguri Kokuri-sen? I agree.
Definitely Amagi.
So Koguri Kokuri-sen is going to be number 3? Okay. That puts Yuki Yuna at number 4. So what should our number 5 seed
well,
be?
Well, by pure rating, it should be Vanadis.
Do you agree with putting Vanadis as our number 5 seed?
Above Yona? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Number 6, I want to make it Tribe Cool Crew, even though Yona is ranked higher.
Not by much. I would say Tribe Cool Crew deserves 6th slot.
Yeah.
Simply because it kept the...
It kept the intrigue alive.
It kept the cool.
Yona has been solid. Tribe Cool Crew has been solid and cool. So now we need to decide the ranking for our last 3. Garo, Nanatsu no Taizai, and Terraformars. I'm going to be honest with you. Terraformars is giving me such a blood boner right now that I want to put it at number 7. 8, I mean. No, I meant 7. I kind of want to put it above Yona. But I wouldn't lower Yona any more than that.
I'd be fine with Terraformars at 8.
Okay, let's do that. Terraformars is our number 8. So now Garu and Taizai. I think Garu at 9 and Taizai at 10 are fitting. However...
Garu did get scored a little bit lower, more... Wow.
This is true. And Taizai, Seven Deadly Sins look like it's going to be the more fun show. And if we were honest with ourselves, if it were just between those two, Taizai would probably win. So, Dave, are you happy with this order?
Yeah.
Shall I read it all out to our listeners?
Fire away while okay. I delete the old ratings.
Okay. For week 3, our seeds. Number 10, Garo Hano Kokujin, or Garo the Animation. Number 9, Nanatsu no Taizai, or Seven Deadly Sins. Number 8, Terraformars, or holy shit, did he just do that with a man's spine? Number 7, Akatsuki no Yona. I have nothing clever to say for Akatsuki no Yona. Number 6, Tribe Cool Crew, where we just, like, do you remember those old,
In the Groove.
Do you remember MC Hammer's cartoon, Hammerman, yes. Where the shoes gave him power?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, Tribe Cool Crew. Number 5, Madano Tovanidis. God damn it, she's hot. Number 4, Yuki Yuna Nawat Yusha De Aru. God damn, they're hot. Number 3, Goguri Kokuri-san. God damn, he's pretty cute. Number 2, Amagi Brilliant Park. Hot people all over this bitch. And number 1, Ori Twin Tails, Ninarimasu. Those aliens are super pervy. Super pervy.
They are.
This
was fun.
This is your week 3 list, people.
At the end of week 3, 5 of these will be gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Let's make some predictions as to which 2 are definitely going to make it. And I think it's going to be Twin Tails and Amagi.
Well, I'm going to go on a limb here and say which 3 are definitely going to make it.
Oh, yeah?
Ore Twin Tails, Amagi Brilliant Park, and Yuki Yuna.
Yeah? What is making you not say Goguri above Yuki Yuna?
Well, I said 3. If I said 4... Kokuri-san would be in there.
I'm just saying, because I originally wanted to put Yuki Yuna above those two, but...
I know, and here's the thing. The only one of this group I could see potentially being kicked off is Vanadis.
Yeah.
Simply because I could see... You and me are probably going to have a fight with Terraformars. Tribe Cool Crew and Vanadis are going to be probably the fight for the 5th.
Maybe. If I was going to pick one of these shows to get cut for sure, it would probably be Garo or Nanatsu no Taizai. I know those are bottom 2 seeds, but I'm going with them. Terraformars...
I'm even going to add in Yona in there simply because, in comparison to our other shows, wow factor.
Yeah, there's that.
Terraformars has huge potential to be amazing or terrible. Episode 3 is really going to nail it. If episode 3 for Terraformars is not great, I'm going to go, hey man, that's only 1 out of 3 you nailed. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Nanatsu no Taizai is probably a mainstay for me, just because I think it's won me over by now, and I really am invested in the story. And
I think here's the other thing I'm going to say is probably going to happen here.
Hmm.
For our fall 2014, we will bring this down to 5. But something tells me that our current list of 10 will probably live on beyond that unless they completely blow with episode 3.
Do you want to just not do week 3 and just these are our winners?
No.
God damn it!
You do realize that we have 12 weeks, right?
Why do you do these things to me?
It's so fun.
Why do you do these things? These horrible things?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, pretty horrible.
Yeah, you're just dying to not watch these.
Well, folks, we're going to do this for another week.
Of course we are.
Carl's at DaveAnimeRave.com is where you can find my suffering. You can use the hashtag PrayForCarlos on Twitter to express just how much your prayers mean to me. They really mean a lot, folks. Just send those prayers my way.
Those you delicious don't believe, fucking... You don't believe in prayer.
Just pray all over my face, like...
You can contact me at TheDudeHack on Twitter.
Yep. I am HandsomeFatMan on Twitter. I retweet a lot of shit, and David tweets, like, nothing. So we are polar opposites.
Yeah.
Aminu!
Stay tuned for week 3, which, seeing as we're down to 10, we'll take a little bit less time, and when we're down to 5, even less.
We might rumble a bit over some of these, because space is getting tight up in here. Goodbye, folks. Don't, like, all these animes teach you that groping women is okay. Don't grope women without their consent. That's wrong. The more you know. Or, Sailor Moon says,